Welcome to the Community Mennonite
Hello,
Church Podcast.
And welcome to the Community Mennonite
Today
Podcast.
We have a sermon by Pastor
Jennifer
Davis.
This week, Rebecca Stutzman delivered our sermon.
In 1964, the U.S. Congress passed the Wilderness Act, which created a national wilderness preservation system, and 9 million acres of federal public land was designated as wilderness. Today, over 106 million acres are protected as wilderness. As a country, we value wilderness. From a biblical view, too, there is value in the wild, undomesticated, undeveloped places in the world. Christians hold that wild places and wild animals are sacred in their own right, even without an express purpose for humanity. We get this notion from Genesis, from Job, from Psalms, from the Gospels. Frankly, from Genesis to Revelation, the biblical story recalls times when creation itself fulfills the will of God. So Jesus, fresh from his baptism in the wild waters of the Jordan and full of the Holy Spirit, is led to the wilderness to fulfill the will of God. It is the very Spirit of God who took him there. And 40 days, Jesus feasted on the beauty of the wilderness and communed with the Holy Spirit. He also fasted from food. No doubt he recalled the formation of ancient Israel during 40 years in the wilderness. Then God fed Israel with manna, and all natural, 100% organic, whole grain food with a bit of honey flavor. But when Jesus was in the wilderness, no manna came. Isn't God's beloved Son supposed to be fed? But there is no miracle to benefit Jesus alone. He is just hungry and probably physically weak. His cognition may have been affected. Human bodies are not meant to fast so long without suffering. Every week, families come to our building on Wednesday evenings because they are hungry. They don't have quite enough funds, skills, health, or employment to feed their families. So they come hungry. And I think Jesus is with them. Displaced people from the Middle East and refugees arriving in Europe from Syria are hungry, and Jesus is among them. There is no miracle of manna for those who are hungry. There are feeding programs. Jesus goes to the wilderness to fulfill the will of God, to feast on his relationship with the Holy Spirit and feast on this desert landscape. Jesus goes to the wilderness to fulfill the will of God by becoming hungry, like all the poor who struggle for survival. Jesus goes to the wilderness to fulfill the will of God by rejecting the devil's temptations. And likewise, we enter the 40 days of Lent to fulfill the will of God, to feast on our relationship with the Holy Spirit, to find our proper place in creation, feasting on the beauty of God's world, and to identify with those who are suffering, and to triumph over the temptations of this world. And we go to be with Jesus. After 40 days, when Jesus was vulnerable, the devil tempted him in three ways, but he triumphed over the devil and rejected these temptations by recalling the ancient paths of Israel. Looking back on the whole episode with the hindsight of a lot of biblical scholarship, we might say that Jesus rejects the devil's Christology. The devil wants Jesus to meet his own needs by making a miracle sandwich, but Jesus says, no, one does not live by bread alone. That's from Deuteronomy. In fact, Jesus answers all three temptations by quoting Deuteronomy. One does not live by bread alone. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve only God. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Basically, the devil wants Jesus to focus on the short term and become self-centered. But Jesus is God-centered. He sees his life as a gift from God, with a rare and wonderful possibility of living fully as the Son of God and fulfilling God's will by being for others and even suffering with others. Whereas Adam, the first son of God, according to the genealogy in Luke, was tempted by Satan and failed, Jesus, the Son of God, triumphs over the devil's temptations. Praise the Lord! God's will is being done on earth. But the devil's temptations for Jesus as the Son of God, like the temptations we face in daily life, are very real temptations. And our temptations become all the more seductive when scripture, religion, and faith seem to justify them. That third temptation, it takes place on the pinnacle of the Jerusalem temple. The devil says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down because, you know, the scriptures promise that you will be privileged and protected and saved. Friends, there are scriptures that promise protection and salvation. And I read them. And I pray them, especially for people who need protection and saving. And I recite them to myself when I'm in need. But God helping me, I never want to build on these scriptures in a way that maintains my privilege at the expense of others. You see, Jesus did not accept his calling and identity as the Son of God as a special status that elevated him above humanity. Remember how he said, I'm among you as one who serves. And we should not believe that our kind deserve better than others in the community. I don't know where your temptations currently lie, but my temptation is to stay in familiar circles of privilege. I'm tempted to remain ignorant of inequality and injustice that persists in our community. Hey, if you think about it, if I went to the pinnacle of our building, the steeple on top, and threw myself down when I dashed my foot against a stone, I'd have medical insurance. And I could read all the forms, even if I couldn't quite understand them, because they'd be in English, my native tongue. I'd have a community of support. I'd have a workplace that would accommodate me during my recovery. I'd have a church that would pray for my healing. My temptation is to stay in my familiar circle of privilege. I'm also tempted to stay in my familiar circles when it comes to theology and faith. You know, sharing an Anabaptist perspective on the gospel among mainline Christian leaders is sometimes awkward. Talking with even more conservative Mennonites in our conference about biblical interpretation can be really frustrating when we feel like we're not on the same page. And last week, I was thinking, oh, here comes Lent. I haven't gotten any plans together for the Palm Sunday Peace Parade. And planning that with local Peace Church Christians is pretty familiar, and I find it very fun. But I just went to a meeting last night, and now we have this opportunity to collaborate with some of the local Black congregations on the Palm Sunday Peace Parade. Well, let me tell you, our theology is not quite in sync about Palm Sunday, about peace, about Jesus. And so I'm tempted to stay in familiar circles. I need your help in the face of these temptations to build partnerships even with other Christians. If you haven't taken up a Lenten discipline this year, there's still time. Maybe that's not really what you wanted to hear. You know, maybe that familiar groove that you're in is a rut, but it's comfortable nevertheless. I know where you're at. But perhaps we could take on something together. Lent is, it's 40 days on the calendar, minus the Sundays, because Sundays are always a feast day. Lent is chronos, time, calendar time, clock time. But Lent is also kairos, the time of opportunity, God's time, the time to turn toward grace and be led by the Spirit to triumph over the temptations of this world. This year in Lent, God offers us 40 days, the convergence of chronos and kairos, when we can be prepared by the Holy Spirit. You know, when we tell ourselves this familiar story about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, it's easy to say, oh yeah, Jesus was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness. But the Bible says he was in the wilderness 40 days, and then he was tempted. Maybe it was just a long afternoon with the devil. Jesus had 40 days of feasting on wilderness beauty. He had 40 days of feasting on his relationship with the Holy Spirit. And perhaps that's how you and I might view Lent this year, finding our proper place in creation, feasting on our relationship with God, fasting as necessary to make space for God's work within us. Lent prepares us as a flesh and blood crossroads where God's heavenly will is done on earth in our bodies. We might consider his temptations a crossroads for Jesus. The devil tempts Jesus to focus on himself with limited goals, fleeting glory, temporary security. But as a man of faith, Jesus is willing to look down the road a year, a few years, a generation, and remain faithful to God rather than take a shortcut in his work as Messiah. How often are we tempted to cut corners with our values when we know better? Are we tempted to take credit for work that is not ours? Are we tempted to protect our own interests at the expense of others? As an example to us, Jesus overcomes temptations by recalling the ancient paths, the Torah, specifically Deuteronomy, which guided the life of Israel and his own life. Jesus was tempted, and he will not abandon us when we are tempted and struggling. With his help, we can triumph over temptations and clarify our identity in Christ. This scripture is also kind of a theological crossroads. As the Messiah of Israel and Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus' wilderness temptation points us to his cross, that apparently opportune time when the powers of evil prevail over a crucified victim. Temptations will come in our lives, and at the end of our 40 days in Lent, we will come to the cross of Good Friday and meet Jesus there. But we're just beginning Lent. Jesus answered every temptation with a quotation from Deuteronomy, so maybe it's appropriate that we read a bit of Deuteronomy this morning. The part we read is about a feast, a first fruits offering. It's a reminder that Lent is that convergence of chronos and kairos, 40 days on the calendar, converging with God's time, when the church offers herself to God, offers her first fruits, offers her life as a gift. May it be so among us.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.